This recording, Connecticut 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, and grew up in a town called Burlington, Connecticut, which was a very small town, kind of in between Torrington and Hartford, in the northwest corner of the state. And we had a lot of space in the town because it was kind of rural, so most of my childhood, all of our friends and I would play outside, go back into the woods, go into the fields behind people's houses, find streams, climb up on rocks. It was a really great place to grow up. Well, we would play, my neighbors and I would do everything, spend a lot of time together because we were closest in age in our little, the little block of our street. So we would play video games together, we would play outside together, we played baseball with a tennis ball, though not with a real baseball. We'd play backyard baseball with a tennis ball, so everyone could hit it out of the park. And we also would go sledding every winter. We lived kind of on the side of a steep hill, so on the backyard and in the front yard, there was a steep hill, so it just depended whether you wanted to crash into your own house or if you wanted to sled down the hill and crash into the street. We also had water gun fights, and we would have fights with the apples that fell from the trees that were in our front yard, so we would climb the trees and pick up apples off the ground or just pull them out of the tree. They were small crab apples and use them like snowballs. So we had lots of kind of silly competitive games when we were growing up.